Hey guys, welcome to the Provokers Podcast, where we talk about things that you probably should too. Today I'm joined by...
Hey guys, it's Noah.
And I'm Jeebins.
And I am your host, Ethan, otherwise known as FlabsXE Gaming on YouTube and Twitch. I'm not streaming on Twitch, but I'm going to promote it anyway. So you have read the title, you have also seen the number, and yes, Fate is repeating itself once again. Not Fate, Destiny's repeating itself once again. And I have been thrusted into the helm of a serious topic episode. However, I'm not bitter about it because I'm actually very excited for this episode because I have prepared an entire thing for this week. Over the course of this week for this just one episode. It's going to be great. And you know what? Before we even get into small talk, screw small talk. We don't need it. John, I have a question for you.
Oh no.
Who do you hope is going to win this episode?
You know, you say that, and my immediate thought is, oh, well, you know, I want to win, I can host next time, but you know, now that you've said that, I kind of thinking that I hope Noah wins.
Okay, Noah, I said same question for you, buddy. Who do you hope is going to win this episode?
Well, going by John's logic, I'm kind of hoping John's going to win.
Interesting. Okay. So we're going to leave that there. They're not going to know what I just asked them and what the purpose of that was until the end. But for now we can get into small talk.
Was.
What are you saying over there?
Why do I feel like that was actually really important?
And you know, don't know. But now we can get into small talk. So what have you guys been doing?
Yeah, working. Had some Dunkin' before this.
Did you try their Dunkin's premium coffee blend?
Yes, I did, and boy, is it good.
And would you recommend it to at least 5 people?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it to at least 5, maybe 10 people.
All right, just make sure. Noah's been working and stuff, but John, from what I've heard in the background, he sounds pretty busy. So you want to enlighten us as to what's going on?
Yeah. So you know, I mentioned to Ethan here very briefly the other day that I wasn't going to be in town from like Thursday to Saturday. And the reason for that was because my grandmother on my dad's side moved in with us, so she's in the basement, you know, got her own space down there, so she can do what she needs to do, but still be near us because she's getting old. And it's just been, you know, moving. It's a lot. I got home yesterday, technically this morning. At like a little after midnight, and then this today, up until we were getting ready to record this, I was bringing things from the car down to where she lives, and it was heavy because there's some heavy stuff there, but it's all done, it's all brought down there, so hopefully there won't be any more issues.
Gotcha. It's nice that you guys are able to provide a space for her.
Right.
Always a good thing.
No, you got to talk a little bit closer to your microphone. You're drifting away again.
All right.
There you go. Now it's good. But as for me, I actually told this to Noah. I think this was not even in the pre. This was the pre before the pre. But I was telling Noah that all this week I've been working on my book. So what I've been doing, I was going to explain this later, and I'll probably reiterate myself again. But I've been watching a show. I got invested into a show recently, and the show is on Disney Plus. And so we have ads on Disney Plus because we're not paying the absurd price for the not ads. So anytime the ad popped up, like they're like it's 2-minute ads or whatever. So every time the ads popped up, I pulled up my stuff to work on. And I went to work, so I was getting a lot of stuff done for the book. So my book is almost done with the draft phase. I have one final chapter to work on. It's not even really a chapter. It's like a bonus chapter, if that. Right as the book's ending, it's just a little snippet for the sequel that I'm going to be making at some point in my life. So yeah, that's been a lot of fun. But that's really all. That's really all I've been doing. I've been selling stuff on eBay for money because I have a lot of stuff just sitting around that's doing nothing that I could get good money for. So. Well, yeah, besides those two things, not much.
Fun.
Nice.
In terms of headlines, the one I have is that Black Ops 6 is making a lot of headlines for how, like, it's a lot of mixed reactions. I've only seen, like, a couple snippets of it. I could have went into the beta if I wanted to. I chose not to because I had better things to worry about. But a lot of people are saying that it's a really good game. A lot of people are saying it's terrible. I think, you know, it's up to you to determine that. Obviously, that's what the beta's for. If you think the beta's garbage, then you're probably not going to like the final product, because when it's in beta, there's still things that can be changed, but usually that's when the developer's like, hey, you know, this is kind of where we want it to be. They're just using the beta as a feedback hub. When a game's in alpha, that's when the developer's like, hey, this is going to look different in the final product. But when it's in beta, that's kind of like one of the final steps. So yeah, if you guys have played Black Ops 6, let us know what you think. One of those things where I'm not going to really be invested in it. I've heard that there's zombies in it, but I'm not someone that plays zombies and stuff anymore. So yeah, there's not much to go off of there, but that's all I can really say. But yeah, and Creator Showcase, I had one, but I forgot their name. So I'll probably just do it in the, because we're recording two today, so I'll say them in the next episode. But the Creator Showcase for today is Jeebins Feebins again. Can you believe it? This is a 3-day streak now.
Wow. That must be a pretty cool guy you keep talking about.
He just brought up streaming again, because now he's back from his thing. Although I think you're going to school again, so I'm sure your schedule's all over the place. But he has, from what I've seen, he was streaming for a while there, so go and check him out, and give him a follow, and maybe it'll convince him to keep streaming, so go over there and do it. But yeah, usually that's my fallback on, so Jeebins will always be my fallback if I don't have one, because honestly, like I said, I was more concerned about the topic for today than I was about the headlines and the other stuff. That's why Black Ops 6 was the headline. It's not that interesting, really, but it's one of those things that I was more concerned about the topic. And speaking of the topic, I think we just get right into it, because this is a serious episode, and we gotta be ready for this. So what's gonna happen today is I can't remember if this was in the pre or what this was in, but it's this episode. A lot of the serious topic episodes, we've all been kind of on the same side. Like the mental health episode, obviously we were on the same side for that. I think really the only couple ones that we were we still slightly disagreed on, but we still came to like a common ground type thing. All of those episodes have kind of had that. This episode's not going to work like that. This episode is going to be John and Noah. They're going to be a team, and they're going to be fighting me. Now, what I mean by fighting is debating. So I'm going to give these guys a topic that there's all going to be around a single theme, so the episode still makes sense. But I'm going to give them a topic, and based on the topic, I have a seeking suspicion they're both going to want to be in the same team. That's kind of the goal here. They're both going to be the same team. And I'm going to play devil's advocate, and I'm going to pick the other side and fight them on it. So they're going to need to defend their side of, well, like, what side they choose, which I have a feeling I know what side they're going to choose. So that's what they're going to go for. And these guys are going to work together on that, and we're going to just see what happens. And like I said, all of these topics that I have all relate around a single theme. And I think this is going to be a really good episode if it all goes well. So do you both understand? I mean, it's not like a game show where there's a lot of rules. It's just, you guys are going to be in the same team. Hopefully, if you both pick different things, I'd be a little concerned. But I have a suspicion you'll be on the same team for a lot of this. But do you have any questions?
Not really.
No, it makes sense to me.
All right. So yeah, in the first time ever in the history of this podcast, Jeebins and Noah are on the same team. And by the way, the way serious topics works, unfortunately, is it's really hard to deviate points, because it's like, hey, you won because you did, I liked your opinions better, when that's kind of not right to say, because if we're disagreeing, it's not right to push someone's opinion aside saying, well, I agreed with you more, so you get more points. I don't agree with that method of point distribution. So how points are going to work is, how good are you at debating? That is the point. That's where points come from. If you are showing me that you are ready to stand up and defend the side you're on and the side you believe in, because there's two sides, so you just side you believe in, and you guys got to work as a team. If I see that there's not some teamness going on here, teamwork going on here, then I will deduct points from the person that's causing that. So you guys are, this is all about teamwork for the two of you. All right? So.
All right, buddy, let's get to work.
The first debate topic that I'm going to give you right now. Hope is not a guiding light. And the two sides of that is basically TLDR is, do you think hoping for stuff is a good thing and that you can think it's helpful? Or do you think hoping for stuff is bad and it's a mistake? So what side, I'm going to assume, but what side are you guys on for that?
I don't know, it sounded like you were going to say something that I decided not to.
I'm thinking.
Okay, well, I kind of have an idea of what I think.
Yeah, so it's only two sides.
I have to be
sides.
On the same page of him.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping you are. If you're not, again, these, I'd be a little concerned here. But hope is, what you're saying is hoping for things is a good thing and it can be good for you. That's what the one side is. The other side is saying that hope is not good for you and it's terrible and you should never do it. That's the extreme version. So you got to remember the extreme versions that you're fighting for as well. So consider that when you're making your choice. But Noah, you got to make a choice here, bud.
Well, see, I've always seen hoping for things as a good thing because ever since I was little, I was always told hoping for things is a good thing to do because. Mm-hmm. You're usually hoping for something good to happen in your life at some point in time. So, I've always viewed it as a good thing.
Okay. So, John, are you on the same page?
Yeah, I think it's good to have a little bit of hope.
Okay.
Because if you don't have hope, you don't really have anything.
Interesting. So again, they've chosen. So they've picked the side that they think they connect the most with. I'm gonna play devil's advocate, even if I don't believe in it. I'm gonna pick that side and I'm gonna fight for it. So hope is not a guiding light is what side I'm on because these guys have chosen that hope is a guiding light. But guiding light just means that it's like it guides you throughout life. That hoping for things is good, and that's why it says that. So I'm gonna start. I'll just give you a thing to go off of, and then we'll go from there. So hope is not a guiding light. So if I'm fighting for this side, one of my things that I can say right now is why hope for something when it repeatedly bashes you in the face? When life gives you all these different problems, you're hoping it gets better and it never does. And so throughout your entire life, you just live this lie to yourself saying, oh, it's going to get better, it's going to get better. And then it doesn't and you repeatedly have that happen to you. What's the point?
Right.
What's the point of hope at that point?
Well, I did have a thought on that idea specifically, where if you go through life being like, oh, well, nothing's ever goes my way, and why should I hope, why should I bother even trying to think that something could go well, then you're just kind of going to be stuck in that, right? You're going to be I think a lot of people would refer to it as a self-fulfilling prophecy, because you're like, nothing goes right, so why bother even trying to make it go right, or even thinking it could go right? I'm just gonna, deal with it. I'm gonna suck it up and, complain and wallow in my pittiness of being like, oh no, things don't go well, and you kind of get spiral into a darker place there if you have absolutely zero hope that anything could ever improve.
Yeah.
Okay. Noah, any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm on the same side here, where if you're not hoping for good things to happen and you only ever see the negative side, then all you're really left with is being able to complain that nothing ever good happens. But if you keep hope that something good will happen, because most of the time you're going to go through rough patches in life, but things will get better. Most of the time it just takes time. You've got to see things out and get to the light at the end of the tunnel.
Interesting. So, another counter-argument that I have is, I'm going to give you an example. There's someone that they had a great family when they were young. They were about five or so, and their dad leaves. The dad was just fed up, left. The dad didn't tell the wife and the child why. He just straight up left. And from that point on, that child developed a symbol of sort of hatred and sadness and despair, where they think that they're hopeful that that person, whoever they're meeting, let's say it's a friend or whatever, is going to stay in their life, and then they leave once again. So you create this repeated train of, well, I was hoping they were going to stay, and they didn't stay. And so at that point, all you're doing to yourself is hurting yourself. You're believing that you're hopeful for it. You try to hope for it, and then it bashes you once again by making someone leave your life. And it really comes down to family and friends. Those are the most important people, because if you have an acquaintance and they leave, whatever, you weren't really that connected to them anyway. But when it comes down to family and friends, those are the type of people that if they choose to leave at any given moment, whether it be for of your fault or not, it's still going to bash your hopes. So, any counterplay to that?
The best I can
say. Well, I went first before, so Noah can probably take the lead on this one.
Yeah. The best I can say is life is like a giant interstate. People come and people go, whether that be family or not, friends or not. People will come into your life and eventually they'll end up leaving. And that'll leave you alone, and that could either be for the best or for the worse. And really, it's just, you've got to ask yourself, were those people any good? Do they add any value to my life? So if those people leave, whether or not it is your fault or not your fault, you just got to remember, people come and go. It's not really a big deal at the end of the day. That's kind of just life.
Right. And further to that point is that if you know, they said that, you said that this person, their dad left them, they grew up and some of their friends left them. If they go through life without hope that somebody in their life will stick around, then they'll be like, oh, what's the point of meeting new people? What's the point in trying to make these friendships that if they're just going to leave, and then they're just going to be left alone anyway. If they don't want, if they're so hopeless that they can't, you know, get these people to stick around in their life, whether it be friends or family, then they're not even going to really try, and then they're not going to have that anyway. So if they have a little hope and are able to, you know, see past the fact that what Noah was saying, that sometimes people will end up leaving, whether that's good for the best or for the worst, you know, that all depends on who they were and what they meant to you. And, you know, if you continue to hope that, you know, someone will stick around, eventually you will find someone who is, like, great. Like I said, whether it be a friend, family member, significant other, what have you, having that connection will improve, because, you know, not everyone's a terrible human being and just abandons people, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And a little hope goes a long way.
Right.
Interesting. So, another thing I'm going to add is we got to face the reality. There are people that leave for no reason. There are people that are just go through life not being hopeful for stuff because they've been proven from their past experiences that it's not worth it to do that. And what I'm going to counter to your guys' thing is there are people that do that. There are people that live their life like that, and they're perfectly fine today. So what's your counter argument to that?
I guess the idea is if they're perfectly fine being alone, there's nothing wrong with that. And like they it's not even that they're hopeless because they just don't care. They don't care to have those relationships, so, you know, they're not even hopeful that they will, because it's not even something that they're really interested in, if that's really what their goal is. And then, like, if they convince themselves that they really were like, oh, I'm fine, I don't need them, they're stupid anyway, then, you know, like, I don't know, maybe see a therapist.
Yeah. Well, the thing I've always learned is there are going to be people that live life like that, or they're just okay with that. And that's okay for them, I guess. That's cool. But you got to kind of be willing to go out and find those relationships if you want them.
Right.
Most people don't want those relationships, so they're not willing to go out and find them. But there are people at the end of the day who are willing to go out and find those relationships because there are people who do like to have those relationships.
So, another thing I'm going to add here is the topic's name is Hope is Not a Guiding Light. Or Hope is a Guiding Light, whatever side you're on. And if hope is such a guiding light, then why does why do people hope for stuff and it leads them down a darker path than it would have been if they had just not hoped in the first place? Because if you don't hope, then if your expectations are met, then you're not upset about it because you weren't hoping for it to happen in the first place. But if you do hope for something and it doesn't happen, you're going to be crushed. So what's your counterplay to that?
It really depends on what you hope for. Because, say, you hope for something, say, unrealistic. Like, you go into a gas station, you pick out a New York City lottery ticket, and you scratch that ticket to see if you win. And you're hoping that you win, but, you know, the odds of that are 1 in, I don't know, 1 million? Something like that. There's always going to be that part of you that hopes that you're going to win. But there's always that high chance that you won't win. And really, it's just a matter of what you hope for. So if you hope for something like that, yes, it's unrealistic that's going to happen. But if you hope for something small in your life, that is more likely to happen.
Yeah, I was more so talking about like the serious ones where it's like you're hoping, like that the example I gave before where the dad left. The child lives their life hoping that their dad is going to come back one day and they never do. So if they hope that he's going to come back and he never does, they're going to be crushed their entire life and they're never going to get over it unless something happens. If they don't expect him to come back, then if he comes back, great. They weren't expecting it, but they got it anyway. And if he doesn't come back, they didn't have any expectations in the first place, so they couldn't have been crushed by it.
I would say that, you know, they hope their whole life that the dad comes back and wants to be in their life again. And they never really get that. Like, yeah, that would suck. That would crush them. On the other side of the same coin, you know, if they're hoping their whole life and they do come back, it's like they're euphoric. It's like the best feeling in the world because they wanted this thing to happen their entire life and then it did happen. And that, you know, if you want to put values to like how much they're crushed, say like their mood is at -200, you know, when they get crushed by that, you know, hoping for something where they didn't get it, they're going to be at +200 if that does happen and they get that thing that they were hoping for.
Yeah. And honestly, oftentimes, when you're hoping for something like that, it usually comes when you least expect it. It's usually when you're at your lowest, but you're still hoping for that thing to happen.
Interesting, interesting. I think the last thing I'm going to say for this particular topic is the examples you guys gave are interesting. And I think I'm going to play off of what John said, where he said the percentages. Not obviously he's paraphrasing, but like 200, like -200 plus 200 because they came back, right? But you're forgetting the fact that they left in the first place. Because sure, they might be at -200. And let's say they walk back into their life. That child, especially if they're a teenager or if they're a young adult, they might not be 200% because they might know they might do it again. They might know that the let's say the dad in this thing might leave again, and let's say he does leave again, he comes back into the life. Let's say at a teenager level, like the daughter, like it was a daughter that was in the example. So she's 15. He comes back into her life for a year. It's everything seems great. Her mood is slowly getting back up. She's starting to get hopeful again, and then he leaves again. And then once again, because she hoped that something was going to be different this time, she was crushed yet again, is now even further into the hole than she was before if she just hadn't hoped at all.
Right.
Yeah.
So what is your counterplay to that?
I think this kind of goes back into what Noah was saying earlier about, you know, realism, when you hope for something realistic. There's time and time and time again, this person shows that that is who they are, then you know, hoping isn't going to do anything for you because you know the outcome. You know what they're going to be like. And you can hope for it, but at the end of the day, you know what's going to happen. You know that they're not going to stick around. They're going to leave because they keep showing that. And that's where hope, you know, what you're saying, it's negative. If put in the wrong spot, yes, it can be negative, but if they know where to assign their hope, they know that hope as a totality isn't negative, and that if they hope for something that could happen, that might even happen, then they're gonna no longer be crushed by this person who keeps doing the same thing over and over again, because they've come to expect it, and that they can be like, you know what, you're not gonna grow up, I'm out of here, you suck, and they put their hope in something else.
Yeah.
Noah, any thoughts on that?
No, I do agree with John. You can always hope for something, and as long as you're not hoping for something negative, and even if you still know the same outcome of what's going to happen, even if it happens every time, still hoping at the end of the day is more okay than not hoping for anything. Because you at least know that you still have something to hope for.
Interesting. All right, so we'll leave that topic there. So we're going to go into a different sphere here. So we're going to move on to wishes can never come true. So obviously the two sides here is wishes can come true. So it's kind of like, it's kind of backboning off of the hope thing, but it's wishes, specifically wishes.
Right.
Like wishes. You can also include prayer if you want to put that in there as well, depending on your religious ideas. But wishes / prayers or whatever, they can never come true. So the sides are wishes can come true, and then wishes cannot come true. So what side are you guys gonna pick here?
I'm gonna say, and hopefully Noah agrees with me, that wishes can come true, and I will go further into it if that's what Noah agrees.
That's exactly what I was gonna say, Johnny boy.
Okay, so they're on the same page again. So I will pick the other side. And what else? I started the debate last time, so I want to hear what you guys have to say first this time.
Yeah. All
right.
I have like there's a pretty good line from, you know, it's one of the classic Disney movies. It's called Princess and the Frog, I believe. But there's a song about how, you know, how hard this person has worked, and one of the lines is that their parents told them that wishes can come true, but they gotta make it happen. They gotta work towards it. If you wish for your whole life that you're gonna be a billionaire, and you don't do anything, like you don't get a job, you don't put in the effort to make that happen, then it won't happen. It won't happen because they're wishing for some divine intervention to where they become a billionaire, which isn't going to happen because that's not how it works. But if you wish for something to happen, and you know, maybe there's a bit of luck there, you know, not everyone becomes a billionaire who works for it, but those who do, you know, maybe not a billionaire because there's some genetic stuff and some parenthood stuff there going on, but a more realistic example, say they want to be successful, not necessarily be a billionaire, they wish to be successful, and they, you know, work at it, they go to school, they go to trade school, they go to job interviews, they do what they need to do to become successful, then they're going to, the if they worked at it, then it's going to come true.
Gotcha. Noah?
Yeah, well, along the same line as you can always wish, and it can always be big or small, or however big you want it to be, or how small you want it to be. But no matter the wish, you always have to put the work in toward it. Because if you're not putting any work or effort into it, nothing's going to happen. Like you said, divine intervention is not going to happen just because, well, that's not the way this kind of thing works. If you want something to come true, you have to work toward it every day and make sure you're taking the right steps to make it happen. So that way that wish ultimately does become true. Because if you don't do any work toward it, well, nothing's ever going to happen.
Interesting. So my counter argument is, I'm going to pull in a bit more serious stuff. Because billionaires, well, yes, I understand that people might want to wish for that. That's not what we're. That's not where I'm going to focus my input on.
Right.
I'm going to focus my input on the sadder stuff. So let's say someone wishes for their mom to get a promotion, which on the surface doesn't sound exactly like the billionaire thing. But then she dies the next day, right as dawn hits on the next day, she dies. And at that point, that person had wished / prayed, whatever, that they were going to get a promotion. They didn't wish for anything other than that. It was just a promotion at their job so they can live more prosperously. And they died right the next day by random chance. So at that point, similar to the last topic we just did, what they did is just create a falsehood for themselves. And they now believe that their wishes only harm people at that point. And if that happens repeatedly, it really just gets nailed in the head to them. So my counter argument is wishes can't come true, especially if people are doing that where they believe that they're, let's say their mom's going to get a promotion and they die. Let's say you're wishing for your grandma to get better. She dies, whatever, especially when it comes to death specifically, that's when wishes can't come true.
Okay. Well, I suppose to the point there, yeah, I mean, like, death comes for us all, Unisonus and all that stuff. You can't, wish for immortality. That's not going to happen. And if you wish that, no, that's not necessarily what this person was wishing for when they wished for their mom to get a promotion and then they died. But, it happens, death happens by random chance, like you said, so you can't really wish, counter-wish that. You can't be like, well, I'm going to wish that this person doesn't die because they're going to eventually. You might be able to wish that they're going to live longer, and maybe they do. Maybe they get the right medical treatment or whatnot, and they are able to prolong their life. But at the end of the day, they are going to die. It's not that they can't come true, but they don't always, sadly.
Yeah. Like I've learned in my life, especially when I was younger, you can always wish and you can always pray that some way, somehow, someone that's close to you will live longer. And sometimes they do live longer, whether or not that be from you wishing it or you praying. But that doesn't always mean that it's going to prevent death. Death is something that's inevitable. It comes for us all at one point in life, one way or another. And it's just something you can't really prevent, and there's no living after it. So, yes, there may be ways to prevent it, but those ways only last for so long before it eventually happens.
Interesting. So a thing that I'm going to add is let's keep on the death train here, because I think this one's a really important to note as well. So when it comes to wishes, especially wishes and prayers, let's say a friend of a friend is wishing and praying that whatever demons they're facing mentally, whatever mental trauma they're facing right now, they hope that it gets better and they hope that they're going to be okay. And then similar to the last thing I just gave, they end up losing the battle. They lost the battle because they didn't feel like they could win it. And to the person that wished for that for them to get better, and then they just didn't, and in fact ended with them causing their own demise, at what point do you have to ask yourself, was this worth it to me? Was me wishing anything going to do anything for me or for them? So that's my counterplay.
Right.
Okay.
That kind of goes back to what I was saying with, working at it, not in a more like tangible sense than success in your job or whatnot. But you know your friend is struggling. You know the friend of a friend is struggling. You know that they are battling their demons. If you wish for that just for them to get better and to overcome the challenge. And then you just like, all right, see you next week, Bob. Then Bob doesn't get help. Bob doesn't. That wishing doesn't help because you're not following up on it. You're not even trying to wish for like something realistic at that point, because if Bob's doing all this alone and you just like, oh, you know, I wish you'd get better, but I'm not going to put any more thought into it or effort or anything like that, then yeah, Bob's not going to get the help he needs, and sadly may lose the battle there, because it's almost an empty wish. You know, they don't really care as much for Bob as they might need to. If they really truly cared about Bob, they would try and help them out.
Yeah. Whereas if you wish and you actually stay with there to help, that is more likely often than not going to help the person that you're wishing for. Because if you actually stay there and you listen to what they have to say, that's more often than not actually going to help that person than just being like, oh, I wish you get better, and then just dipping. Like, if you actually stay and listen to that person's problems, 9 times out of 10, it will actually help. But you have to be willing to be that person to stay there and put in that time and effort and actually listen.
Interesting. So I'm gonna give you one last thing to go off of here. And let's stay on this exact scenario. I think this is a good scenario to stay on, because one thing that I think we didn't talk about is, let's say that Bob's friend did everything they possibly could. They answered their calls, they talked to them all the time, they drove them to their therapy lessons, or not even lessons, but you know what I'm talking about. They drove them to therapy. Mm-hmm. They did everything in their power to help them in every single way that they could. They fought for it, just like what John and Noah just said. They fought for it truly. It still happened. Mm-hmm. It still happened. What then?
I think in something like that, where it's like they truly did fight for it, and you know, it didn't happen. They sadly lost the battle. But that doesn't mean it couldn't have, you know. Maybe there was something they didn't realize. Maybe there was something that they didn't know, because maybe Bob wasn't giving all the information to the therapist or to their friends or whatnot. Or maybe, you know, like we were saying earlier, they just couldn't overcome it. And sadly, that happens. You know, you can't save everybody from that battle, but you can try your best and you can wish for that to happen. It doesn't mean that it can't happen, or even that it won't happen, but it is one of those things that, you know, can't control everything, and that if you expect every single wish that you ever make to come true, eventually, then you're not going to have one come true. And, you know, maybe that's just going to happen sometimes. Doesn't mean it can't happen when it comes true, but it might not.
Yeah. That's the thing. You can always go and put in enough effort, but the real thing is that, unfortunately, most of the time that is the case, where some people just lose a battle. And while that's unfortunate, it's just something that happens. And whether that be a thing of that person simply cannot overcome the battle, or they just couldn't deal with it well enough mentally, or maybe they didn't have the right tools or something. But you can always try and try to be there. And sometimes there's just something you miss, or sometimes it's not even you, it's just the person and what's going on in their own head.
All right. I think that's a good place to leave that one. So we're going to move on to the next one, which is, fighting for something is never worth it. So the two sides, obviously, is that you think, though this is talking about fighting for anything. It could be small to big stuff. But fighting for something is never worth it. That's the line. So the side is exactly that, and then the other side is that fighting for stuff is good for you and can be and is worth it in the end. So what side are you guys going for?
Oh, yeah. You know my side.
Yeah. I feel like I'm hoping Noah agrees with me on this one, and I'm going to say, you know, it is with it. Fighting for something is definitely for sure with it.
Yeah, fighting for something is always worth it.
All right, so I will go with the other side. And I'll start off this one by bringing in another example, because that's how debates work. You gotta give each other evidence to go off of. And in this scenario, let's bring back the daughter that was in the dad leaving one. Except the dad's gone to like whatever. Who cares about that guy anymore? We're talking about the daughter now. So she is a troublemaker in class because of her hollowed past. She does all this type of stuff. Everyone's telling her that she could be better than who she is, but she doesn't care. She doesn't care enough to try anything. She doesn't care enough to do that. And she believes that fighting for stuff is never worth it because she's been proven in her past life, and not even just with the dad, she's been proven in her past that fighting for stuff isn't worth it. And so she just goes life without even trying. So what is your counterplay to that one?
Yeah, I thought I was going to say something there, but I would say that, you know, if they believe fighting for something is never worth it, they're not fighting for something. They're not trying. As a lot of these points keep going back to, it's about the effort that they're putting in. That if they're like, oh, you know, something bad happened to me, oh well, I'm not going to bother about that. You know, if everybody in the world has always lived their life thinking that can't change anything, that everything is going to suck and that there's no point in fighting it, then, you know, if you, and not to get too, not to say morbid, that's not exactly the way I'm looking for it, but not to get too extreme, you know, look at, you know, slavery. You know, if every abolitionist, rather, believed that fighting wasn't worth it, then slavery wouldn't have been abolished. They wouldn't have gotten to where we are today, where not only is slavery in America abolished, but, you know, there's work to even fight racism. You know, it's an ongoing battle for sure, but it is better than it was even like 20, 30 years ago. And we don't currently have slaves, so there's that.
Yeah. The thing for me is fighting for things is always worth it. Because if you're never putting in 100% of yourself and effort into what you're fighting for, then of course it's not going to be worth it. But if you are fighting for what you believe in, and you're putting in 100% and putting in the effort, putting in the work, then most of the time, what you're fighting for will be worth it. You just have to have the support and also just keep fighting. Right. There's always going to be a battle that you just got to fight past. And especially with what John said, like with slavery back in the day. Yeah, that was around, but if you look around now, that's gone now. Now there's actually better rights than there were. I'm not saying they're exactly equal, but they are definitely a lot better than they were.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, racism is a bit of a hard one to get past, but even in this country, I think we're actually doing some work to get past that.
Right.
Interesting. So I'm glad John brought up history, because that was kind of where I was going next. And there is various moments in history where, of course, people fought and they won. But then you got to look at the other side, where people fought and all it led to was a civil war. And people, and at the end of the civil war, let's take, you know, let's go into a less serious path and, you know, to kind of negate the bad stuff, is Captain America Civil War, the movie. in that movie,
right.
two friends fought each other almost to the death because they let something get between them. Mm-hmm. And no one was better off at the end of that movie. No one was better off than they would have been if they just didn't fight in the first place. So, now mm-hmm. that's a movie. Let's go back to real life. There's moments in real right. life that are just like that, where people fought for something they believed in, and all it did was lead to a civil war. And the people that were fighting for something lost. And all the people mm-hmm. that were fighting against them were the people that won. So, and at that point, fighting was worth it. Because if the economy went down, food rations went down, people were more in poverty than they were before, all it did was lead to all these tree branches of bad consequences.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's a valid point, I suppose.
Yeah.
And, you know, that happens, you know, every now and then. There's going to be downsides to the fighting. But, you know, with something like that happening, you know, if no one was, like, willing to put in the effort, going back into the realm of fiction with Captain America: Civil War, that happened because, you know, one side was like, no, we should do this, and the other side would be like, no, I don't want to do that at all. I don't agree. I'm going to fight you because I disagree so much. If they were like, you know, I'm not going to fight you because I don't think that's worth it, then they're not going to get anywhere. They're just going to have to deal with the thing that they didn't want to happen because they weren't willing to fight for it. Because, you know, like, maybe at the end of the day, they didn't get what they wanted. They didn't achieve the positive outcome they were looking for by fighting for what they believed in. But, you know, stepping back into the realm of reality, if you get to the point where you're like, you it's all over, it's done with, the fighting's all over because no one can fight anymore, no one wants to fight anymore because it just sucks. At least, you know, you can walk away with the fact that, like, at least I tried to do what I thought was best. You know, they don't walk away with it like, oh man, maybe I should have done this differently, or maybe I should have done that differently. If they put in truly 100% effort into what they were fighting for, then they're going to walk away being like, there's nothing else I could have done. And, you know, sometimes bad shit happens, but if you don't fight for it, worse things happen.
Yeah. And to John's point, that's the thing. You kind of always have to fight for what you believe in. Because if you go and you fight for what you believe in and you put in all your effort, then you really are showing, okay, there's nothing more I can do to convince whoever or whatever. But you went and you showed every card that you had. That's putting in all your effort and just knowing that, yes, okay, the war was fought or whatever, but at the end of the day, you did the best that you could. Whether or not it worked or not, you just did the best that you could. And whether, as long as you just fought with 100% of what you got, that's all that really matters at the end of the day.
So, to John's point, actually, where he was talking about that, that if you fight for it, at least you can walk away knowing that you fought for it and that you were better off that you did do that. I'm going to bring back the idea that a lot of the times, a lot of the historical events I'm thinking of, they were way worse off if they just hadn't fought in the first place. If there wasn't really a benefit to fighting it, because if they had, in the scenario that they fought in it, they lost resources, they lost their homes, they lost everything. And at that point, is losing everything worth it? That's the question that I'm going to pose to you guys. Is losing everything worth it just to fight something that you believe in?
I would say yes. I would say if you truly believe 100% that what you're fighting for is right, is what you should do. If you lose everything, and I'm sitting here as a person who has not lost everything, clearly. So, you know, take what I say with a grain of salt. But if you lose everything because you fought for what you believed in, I would say, you know, morally, it's worth it, because if at the end of the day, maybe like 80 years down the line, you're sitting there like, man, I could have, you know, what if I had fought? What if I had fought back? They don't know the outcome. They don't know they would have lost everything if they fought, but they will torture themselves throughout the rest of their lives thinking, what if they did fight? What if they could have done something about it and then they chose not to?
Yeah. If you go and you fight for what you believe in and you lose everything, that's proving that you went and you fought for what you believed for, despite the fact that you lost everything. Even with some of the things that I believe, I would go and I would fight and I would put in 100% of everything I have, even if that means losing everything I have, because my beliefs are that strong. Because at the end of the day, I frankly just don't care, even if I do lose everything. Now granted, I haven't lost everything, but that's not to say that should I need to ever fight like that, I will be okay with losing everything, because at the end of the day, I'm fighting for what I believe in.
Interesting. So that's the last question I was going to ask. So you two are on the same team, so I was going to ask, let's say that does happen to you. You're fighting for something, you believe in it 110%. Are you willing, are you ready to lose everything to pursue that? Now, we're talking losing your house, losing your family, losing your wealth, losing everything to your name. Are you ready for that?
Well, you see, the thing is, most of my family is just about dead, so...
And I was like, screw the rest of that 11.
Yeah, so while I may still... I could live with losing everything, and... probably be okay, as long as I just go and I fight for what I believe in.
Right. Yeah, I would say yes. Like I said, it's hard to truly know if you haven't, you know, because you don't know what that's like. But I would say that there's definitely times in my personal life where someone was like, hey, this is what I'm going to say and do and how I feel about a certain situation. And I was like, I don't agree. I'm going to risk losing this friendship or this connection because I disagree so strongly with what you're saying to me. And, you know, I did lose that friendship, that connection with that person. But I think it was, you know, worth it because... the end of the day, that person who I lost that connection with, you know, they didn't care about what, like, hearing my side of the argument, like, how I felt. They were just like, you know what, if you fight, you know, this, then you will lose, because, you know, I'm not even gonna attempt to see your side of the argument. And even in that case where, like, I knew that if I, you know, stuck to what I believed, that this person was gonna just like piss off and not talk to me ever again. I was like, you know, I think that's worth it because this connection isn't worth it if you're not willing to hear my side and if I try to fight it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
To that same point, if I'm giving 100% of my time, effort into my point and someone's not willing to hear it, and I'm just better off without that person, because if they're not willing to hear what I have to say, then why should I be willing to hear what they have to say?
Right.
All right. Well, I think that's a pretty good spot to leave that there. We're going to move into our final debate topic that I have here. And that is that change is always a bad thing. So the two sides, obviously. Change is bad, change can be good, and very black and white. So what side are you guys picking?
I'm picking change is good.
Yep, I was gonna, you know, follow along that line of thinking as well.
Alright, perfect. Yep. So these guys are still on the same team, so I'm gonna go with the other one, and because I started the last one, you guys are gonna start this one.
Alright, Noah, do you want to start, since I started the last one we started?
Sure, bud. So, for me personally, in my life, change has been a good thing because I've changed from where I grew up and I lived to now I'm in a whole nother state where I barely know where anything is. And as terrifying as that is, I don't mind it because I'm in a place where the seasons change and things actually look better than they did in that last state, where everything was more dry and more barren, it was more mountainous, it was more desert. It was a place I didn't mind living. But up here, I at least know I'm in a place that is much cleaner, and I actually have a job somewhere in this area that's, paying my bills. It's quite a good change for me.
Right. I would say that change is good because if you don't change, you don't move on from things that were, previously the case, then the best if it will remain bad. And there was no change because it sucks still. I know I brought up slavery previously. If everyone was like, you know what, change is bad, this is good, this is what we should have, and there was, the wrong, in my opinion, argument that how things were at the time was beneficial because it benefited the white people who were making this argument. For them the change was bad. But for the general society, for everybody else, the change was good because, maybe they lost some of their money, boo-hoo, I guess. But, people had their freedom who previously did not have their freedom.
Yeah. Change in that sense is always a good, as well as change in yourself. Like, let's say you have a bad past, but you change yourself and you overcome it. That kind of change is always a good thing too.
Interesting. So my counter thing is less so about like the bigger changes, more so about like the medium style changes, like lifestyle changes and that kind of stuff. I'm gonna go into, let's say you settle down. You have a perfect wife, you have two kids, everything's great. And you have a perfect house, it's by you have a farm, perfect lifestyle that you and your life wanted, or you and your wife wanted to live. You get a job offer to go to the London head of state or whatever the frick. Well, it doesn't matter what job they get. You have to move to London in order to accept that position. Most people would choose to not go to London. They would choose to stay where they are, and because what they have is already perfect, why change it when it's already the best that it can possibly be? And the people that do leave sometimes ended up regretting it because they left behind all those memories, everything they had, just to make that one decision. And so my counterplay is, if something is perfect and the way you see fit, why change it?
Again.
Okay. Well, to your point, yes, so that kind of thing can always happen. Now, in my eyes, getting an offer like that, I take it personally. Because, yes, while my life in that sense may be perfect, who's to say that if I take that job offer and I uproot my entire life, move everyone there, who's to say it can't be better than what it already was? Because, yes, it may be perfect now, but who's not to say when I move there in some time from then that it could be even better than it already was? Because in your example, moving to the UK, they have affordable health care. I actually think the shit's free. Like, there's better schooling, there's better education, there's no guns. The most you'd have to worry about is a stabbing. So, in a sense like that kind of a change could always be a good thing.
And the jump off of Noah's point there is that, like, if you get that offer and, like, if things are perfect the way they are, why change it if they're perfect the way they are? But, like, the thing is, you have to think about is it might not always be perfect.
if you personally, looking at why to make this argument as to why someone would go and make that change, even if it could end up negatively, is that it could end up positively. You know, they might be thinking about the future for their kids. You know, they might be like, yeah, things are good now and things are good for how we have it, but one day my kids will, I'll get old, I won't be able to support this lifestyle that I currently have. When I'm like 85 years old, I can't be a farmer anymore, and this job offer is gonna, you know, set me up a little bit better for the future, you know, for my kids' sake. And you know, like Noah was saying, with the healthcare and the education, for the most part, is better. Then they'd be like, "Well, I want the best that I could possibly have for these kids of mine, and I'm gonna make that change, even if it could end up negatively. The positives of it going well outweigh the negatives of it going wrong."
Interesting. All right, well, that's, I think we're going to end that topic there because we're coming up on time here. And I have, so besides these four topics, I have one final question for the two of these guys and everyone listening at home. And I want you to think about your answer and answer honestly as you possibly can. If you could go back in time to one day in your life and relive one single moment, what would that moment be? What would you choose to relive?
I actually have an answer.
Go ahead.
You said you think about this one.
It would be the last time. So, not this previous time I was in Florida, but the last time I was in Florida about 2 years ago. It was the final day I was there. And I was boarding a plane to come back to New York. That person that dropped me off happened to be my father. I would go back to that moment in time so I could see him one last time and just tell him how much I love him, because unfortunately he is no longer here.
It's a very, very powerful answer. John, do you have yours?
If I had to answer this question, I would say it would be the Christmas just before I moved from New York to Virginia, because I believe that was the last Christmas that I had with my immediate family, as well as my great-grandma and my aunts and uncles on my mom's side. Now, my aunts and uncles are still alive. My immediate family is still alive. But my great-grandma passed away a few years ago. And, you know, I miss her and all that. But, like, that, to go back to what we were saying about change, is that Christmas was the catalyst of the change of where I am now moving here. Because we were like, we need to spend more, as much time with my great-grandma as we possibly can. And that experience was truly amazing, having all of them there. And it's, yeah, if I had to pick any point in time to go back to and relive, it would be that.
Very powerful answer as well. So, with all this being said, have you, either of you two figured out what the main topic is? Obviously, we had debate topics, but I'm talking about the overarching topic, or the overarching thing that was going on here. You two, have either of you figured it out?
If I had to guess, it would be positivity versus negativity. Because there's always a theme of, like, positivity versus negativity in each of the prompts you gave us.
Okay, Noah, do you have an idea?
I was actually gonna go, although I was thinking more positivity versus grief.
What if I told you it was a single word?
Okay.
Raise any flags there?
All that really would come to mind
is nothing because you got cut off.
Nothing. Wow. Truly powerful. I understand.
I think I'm like, I guess in general, just.
Alright.
Alright. John, do you
he
have.
Thinks nothing in general.
Did you, if, like, with the thing I just gave you, that's one single word, have you figured it out?
I'm gonna go with, hope. You know, we talked about hope specifically, but hope plays a part of each of the other things we talked about because there's always the hopes that things can improve or change for the better.
Interesting answer. We're an hour in at this point. At the very beginning of this episode, I asked the two of you, who do you think, or who do you hope is going to win this episode? And what was interesting is you both chose each other. You neither of you said, "Oh, I hope that I'm gonna win." You were hoping for the other person to win. Now, whether your intentions were clear or not, it doesn't matter. You said that you hoped that, in this case, John was gonna win, or vice versa for Noah. So, John, with the hint that I gave him, is actually 100% correct. The overall theme of this episode is hope, and the reason that is because Johnny actually kind of also got the other part, which is hope plays a part in everything that we talked about. Noah, what are you doing over there? He's dying or something. I'm not sure what he's doing. Either way, hope played a part in every single one of these. And obviously, I played devil's advocate and chose the other side. Now, I don't believe in any of these sides that I chose. Because hope is a guiding light. Wishes can come true. Wishes/prayers, whatever you want to do. Fighting for something is always worth it, and change can be a good thing. And at the end of the day, and this is my overall message from that's coming out of this episode, is I actually loved John and Noah's answer to the final question I gave, which was, if you could live in a moment, what would it be? They gave very somber and very powerful answers because they knew their answer. And so the overall message is hope and love in the moment, because maybe one day you'll get asked the question I just asked, and you should have an answer to that. You shouldn't sit there thinking about, oh, what moment would I relive, and you're sitting there, you can't come up with anything, because that's sad. It's sad that you can't come up with something that you would relive, because that's how powerful and hopeful you were in that moment. So the overall message for today is that hope and love in the moment that you're currently in. Because at the end of the day, hope is hope. You have to be able to hold on to something. Because obviously the sides I was fighting for was people go through that stuff. While I didn't believe in the side I was fighting for, it still happens. Hope, some people don't have hope. Some people, their wishes never come true. Sometimes they fight for something and it all ends terribly. Sometimes they go through a change thinking it's going to be great and it ends horribly like that. So stuff happens like that. But you got to be able to hope for something in the end. Whether it's a little cling of hope that you're hanging on by a thread, or if it's a massive thing you're hoping for, whatever it is, you got to cling on to that hope that you currently have. And because sometimes the world doesn't have enough. Sometimes the world doesn't have enough hope to go around, because people lose hope all the time. In fact, I'm sure that in this hour that we've recorded it, dreams have been crushed. Who knows how many people have left? Like the thing I gave earlier, where the dad left the daughter. That's happened in this hour that we've been here. I'm sure thousands of people have gone through changes that they don't like. And I'm sure people have fought for something that they believed in and lost that battle. And that's happened throughout this entire episode that you've been listening to this right here. This entire hour that you've been listening to this. So that's what I'm going to leave this episode on, is no matter what happens, you always have to hold on to hope. Because there is always a light at the end of the tunnel. Even if the tunnel is curving all around and you can't see the end just yet, it is always there, and it's just a matter of time before you reach it. So that's what I'm gonna leave this episode on today. Now, in terms of points, you both hoped each other would win, and it's very interesting that you wished for that, or that you hoped for that, even, because you both won today. I think the hopefulness that you guys had, and I loved your answer for the last question there, I think that's the best thing to do. I think the best thing to do is these guys held on to hope that the other person would win. Again, whether their, you know, whether their method for choosing the other person was in spite of everything or what, doesn't matter. They hoped that each other would win, and they got that wish. Now, obviously, the wish doesn't matter. All it does is you host the next episode. Congratulations. You're a little pat on the back. But there's people out there that are wishing for even bigger things. I think that's great. I think that's what the world needs more of, is people like that. So these two, for the first time in season two, they're going to be duo hosting the next episode. Whatever that next episode may be, obviously we don't know. But they're both the winners today. I don't, usually duo hosting is like sort of a cop-out answer to be like, hey, you know, I don't feel like giving you points. I don't feel like making some of the winners. So you're both the winner. But this episode, I specifically wanted both of these guys to fight for their side and to show me that they were willing to have hope that their side is correct even. And they did just that. So because they accomplished their mission, they are both going to be the host next episode. So you guys are a team. So what is your winner speech?
Well, I guess I could say, this was a very good episode. Really made me think about some of the answers that I gave, and it's a very, very thought-provoking episode. I quite liked it. But, yeah, it really does teach you that lesson that you just need to have hope that things will get better than they currently are. Because truth is, things could always be worse, but as long as you do have hope at the end of the day, you'll be alright.
Right. For my side of the winner's speech, I would say, I'm probably stealing this as a quote from somewhere, paraphrasing or something. It's definitely not fully original, but like, a thought that kept coming to mind while we were given our thoughts on the different prompts and whatnot is that, like, when I was saying how specifically on I think it was the wishes one, where I said, you know, if the negativity that would happen is they would crush was like the equal and opposite would happen to if they got it, and the thought that kept coming to mind was I don't know why, but it was like the, like I said, definitely stolen somewhere probably, but the darkest, the deepest darkness, I can't even get it right. The smallest light can shine through the deepest darkness.
Yeah, I think I know what you're trying to say. You're
right.
I think it's something close to that. I think it's even the tiniest light can shine through the darkness or something like that.
Yeah, that's just what kept coming to mind as we were going through the episode.
Oh wait, no, it's even the tiniest light can shine through the darkest of times.
Okay, so it's definitely stolen, but you know, that's what I was thinking.
Well, there you go. Yeah, so actually, like I said, I think I said this in the pre or even in the beginning of this episode. I think it was the pre though. Is the show that I've been watching was actually the thing that actually inspired this very episode. Because there's a lot of, I'll call them lessons, there's a lot of life lessons in the show that I'm watching, and a lot of the episodes have made me question these exact things. And so I wanted to bring them to light, so there you go.
Cool.
But I think that's gonna do it for this episode, guys. So check out you can check out me over on YouTube at FlabsXCGaming if you choose to do that. John is over on Twitch at JeebensFeebens, as you heard in the Creator Showcase. Go check him out. He does all sorts of stuff when he's able to stream. And Noah, you have anything yet?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Dog.
Yeah, NoahDog5434. So you can go chat with him over there if you even use Instagram. You can check out the Patreon that we have. That's only for people that want to do that. All it does is gives you behind-the-scenes stuff. There's two different sides of the Patreon. There's the normal tier stuff that you find everywhere, and then there's the store. The store has extended cut episodes, so if you're curious as to what's over there, go check them out. We have they're like little mini topics that we wouldn't be able to fit into an entire episode. Although I technically should be incorrect, because I think we can do I think Wavelength could be one that we could have fit into a single episode. But either way, it's like Kiss Mary Carol is a perfect example. That'd get boring really quick. So that's a extended cut episode, and it's about 30 to 40 minutes. There's no winner, no loser. There's no headlines, no creator showcase. It's literally just the topic. So go check out what we got over there. We got a ton of them. And yeah, I think that's gonna do it. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.